something. So that is, again, it's very important. And frankly, if you're going into a job, it's very important from your standpoint. In other words, are you an employee? Well, if you're an employee, then your employer has to pay, half of your Social Security tax. And I think there are too many young people who think, oh, well, I just won't pay it. I don't need it right now. I'm young. You know, what's this Social Security? It's not going to be around when I'm old enough to collect it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, again, I recently had a case with a woman. I have no idea why Social Security was not paid by the company. She actually ran the company, but she ran everything other than the finances. And her husband ran the finances, and come to find out that over many years that this business was in operation and they earned significant amounts of money, she wasn't contributing into Social Security, and the company was not contributing on her behalf. Bottom line, she's now old enough to collect Social Security, and as a result, she's just collecting a few hundred dollars a month, rather than probably what she would have collected was about the maximum. So you have to really look carefully about this. I know businesses don't like to pay it. However, I see the other thing I see that often is family members will work in a business and not be paid. I'm not talking about younger people, but, you know, maybe the business is in the husband's name and the wife starts working in the business, the office, or whatever, after raising the children, so that she will, in fact, under her own name, be able to accumulate at least 10 years of Social Security credits. And that's what people need. I mean, they need to have, at least they're going to, under retirement, I'm not talking about disability, but under retirement, you have to have 40 credits. And 40 quarters is 40 quarters of work. And you have to have a certain amount. I don't remember the dollar amount. But the 40 quarters are mandatory in order to collect Social Security. Well, you know, people think, oh, well, wife will be able to collect half of mine, so why do I need to do this? Well, over a period of time, it can be a huge difference, a big difference in whether or not she can collect under herself or whether she's only able to collect as a result of being married to her husband. And there are other things with Social Security that are going to go away. I don't see that the windfall that women, and it's usually women, don't mean to be not politically correct, but very often it's the stay-at-home mom who never pays into Social Security, and she will, of course, be able to collect under her husband. So that's about it for today for the law. We'll come right back after we have a break for the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tammy Rose.
Politics is a team sport.
Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus is making a plea for party unity.
We all need to get behind the nominee. Unity makes the impossible possible, and division makes the possible impossible.
Priebus called on Trump, Cruz, and rival John Kasich to get behind whoever wins the nomination. Some political foreshadowing in an old Prince song.
Prince's effect on music is expected to last a long time, but one of his songs may have been way ahead of its time. The late pop icon wrote a song in 1990 called Donald Trump Black Version for an R&B funk group called The Time.
It's a ballad unearthed by BuzzFeed following the singer's death.
I'm Tammy Rose, and this is USA Radio News, powered by Western Journalism.
Hey, Mom, I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right. And it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Max...
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about the weather. And Bill is here. We're going to start off with the sports guys. But Bill, let me let you know, and I know we're going to talk about hockey.
Oh, you're darn tootin' we are.
Yeah, and we're going to have to tell me about, I bet you won't want to say anything about my Blackhawks who survived. But in any event, I wanted to let you know that weather, although tomorrow there's a slight chance of showers in the morning, then it's going to be mostly sunny, high of about 70 degrees. That Sunday it's also going to be sunny, high of about 66 degrees, mostly sunny into Monday. And a real rain, although we have some chance of showers tonight. And I don't know, is it raining out there now? Because it wasn't when I came in.
It's starting to look a little muggy, and it might rain perhaps 8 or 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
but I think tomorrow it's going to be pretty good.
It's going to be great. And really the first... real chance of some showers, 40% Monday night and into Tuesday. So, tell me about my Blackhawks, who I understand survived.
Well, Pat, they survived a double overtime and won 3-2 against the St. Louis Blues. The Blackhawks are down. We're down, but not out. Patrick Kane forced an overtime and then won the game in overtime with a tremendous goal after double overtime. So the Hawks live to fight another day. And just like the Hawks living to fight another day against Ken Hitchcock and his St. Louis Blues, where you're seeing some great hockey, particularly from St. Louis forward Tarasenko, a guy I encourage everybody to watch for his puck handling skills and his speed. We have the Rangers looking at the short end of a 5-0 loss last night to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wow, yeah, that was really a bad loss, wasn't it?
Well, it was. It was humiliating for the Rangers. The Pens are doing something that I wanted to point out to our viewing audience. The Pens seem to be clogging the slot. They are forcing the Rangers on the power play into perimeter shots, which their rookie goaltender is just sucking right up. So the difficulty is that the Rangers are not challenging the Pittsburgh Penguins in the slot or creating confusion in front of the net or blocking or screening the goaltender. So you've got the continuing problem, even though the Rangers may be out shooting the Penguins here and there in a different one period or another. What's happening is the goalie is getting the looks, and although the Penguins are perhaps giving up that first shot when the goaltender has it all the way, it's an easy thing to stop, or at least to square your body to the shot and figure out that it's going to hit your torso somewhere. So that's what's going on in that series. In the series with my Philadelphia Flyers, after probably one of the most embarrassing games I've ever seen them play, and they lost 6-1, the Flyers came back, rallied, and played the way they really can play, and beat Washington in regulation 2-1. Flyers were up 2-0 with an absolutely fabulous goal by Shane Gostisbehere from the point that eluded a very good Brayton Holtby, and you could even see the cord to the net, back of the net, bulging. The shot was so hard. And then the Flyers came back, and after Pittsburgh tied it 1-1 in the second period, the Flyers came back and scored another goal. This time it was Andrew McDonald again from the point, and then it was tipped. During the game, however, there was a very serious injury. It was very frightening. Scott McLaughlin went into towards the net, began to come around, and was spun around by one of the defensemen and ended up hitting his own head and shoulders into the lower part of the board, which are the part of the boards with the least give right behind the goal. He laid unconscious flat on his face for about 10 minutes while they scooped him up, and everybody was quite frankly very frightened for this young man. Scott McLaughlin is 21 years old. He's got a bright future ahead of him. I thought, oh my God, he's going to be paralyzed. Couldn't even see his legs move. But eventually his legs moved. He began to speak. Once they got him flipped over and on his back, and they put him on a stretcher and very carefully got him off the ice on a gurney and took him to Thomas Jefferson Hospital, where the report is that he will not be playing in Washington tonight, but he's going to be okay. So thank God for that. A very frightening moment for anybody who's played the game or cares about somebody who plays the game.
Especially when they're out that long. I mean, that's the thing. When they're out for a long time, it's like football. I really watch the guys, and you see if they're moving some part of their body, and you can see if they're trying to get up. But when there's no movement for that long, it really is scary.
I thought the guy had fractured a vertebra because his head looked, the top of his helmet looked like it had actually gone into the bottom of the boards where there's the least give, as I said. Remember, these guys are running around on a slippery surface, and they're doing it with knives strapped to the bottoms of their shoes. When you think about it, that's how sharp these skate blades are.
Well, it's also, if you've ever taken many falls on ice, if you're skating fast and you fall on ice, it's like falling on concrete. It really is. You ice does not give.
It certainly doesn't. I mean, think of the kinetic energy potential for how fast you're moving, and then think of weighing 110 or 210 pounds like this player does, and thinking about doing 30 miles an hour and having your head slammed into a very solid piece of wood attached to a very hard piece of ice. Remember, you're lucky you don't break your neck. I truly hope that
That's what I would have been concerned about, that he broke his neck.
Yeah, I could easily see he could have fractured a cervical vertebra or something, which is a very serious injury. I don't care how much you like collision sports or sports where there's an element of violence and physicality to it. Nobody wants to see somebody seriously injured or even injured.
Yeah, well, especially head and neck injuries.
Oh, yeah, because they're devastating.
Granted, a knee injury might mean that you're never playing again, but it's not the same as a head or neck injury that you really worry about.
Yeah, but tonight they face off at 7 o'clock in Washington, and unfortunately, I think this is going to be it for my Flyers for the season, but this has been a very good test for them. Washington, the Washington Capitals, have been the absolute best team in hockey now all season. They won the President's Trophy. They're finally playing serious hockey against Philly, and they are literally the best team in the league this year. They are a good test and a good matchup. Remember, during the regular season, the Flyers and Washington split two games. They each won two out of the four-game series, although the Flyers have stayed with them except in Game 3, which was an absolute 6-1 embarrassment. This is a good test for a young team, and it's a good showing for Ron Hextall and Dave Hextall.
Hey, come on, you almost sound like you're giving up already. You know, John has just joined us, and John and I, we wouldn't be giving up until the last minute of the last game.
Who said giving up? I'm saying it's a good test. They
no,
may very well
on,
win
test.
Tonight
win.
And force a Game 6 back in Philadelphia, and
well,
I'm
we don't
really
like
hoping
tests.
For that.
We don't like tests. We like wins.
Well, it's going to be a win. I'm hoping that tonight with Michael Neuwirth in the nets, spelling the guy who got them there, the goaltender who actually did have a meltdown in Game 3, that we're going to see some really good hockey tonight. What do you think, John?
Well, good afternoon, Bill, Pat. Yeah, I kind of echo those comments. I think it's a real tall task for the Flyers, who got into the eighth spot, having to play the President's Trophy winner. Washington's pretty loaded, and you heard me say, you know, probably 2 months ago that I thought they were, you know, destined to win it this year. They were my pick to win it, to even beat the Western Conference, you know, Giants. But I think Philly took on some injuries, and even during the series, so they're a bit shorthanded. They've changed goaltenders. They certainly got a great response the other day, you know, after a truly unfortunate performance earlier in the week. They came back and really took it to Washington. It's a tough thing to try to beat the Caps on their home ice. You know, they're going to be skating uphill. Caps are going to be downhill. It's going to be a tough match. But Bill, I overall agree with your assessment. It's a good opportunity for young players like Gostisbehere and a couple of other of their good young players to see some playoff action.
Oh, it is. And the other thing that it does is it points out some of the problems that they've had with scoring all year. A couple of my favorite players, Claude Giroux, Jake Voracek, have really underperformed this year in terms of goal scoring. And the top lines just aren't putting the puck in the net yet in this playoff. They're being very well covered by Washington. Washington has provided the classic example of great defensive hockey plus taking a lot of offensive chances when they can. However, what you're seeing is tremendous back-checking, tremendous responsibility by Washington forwards to cover up for defensemen. And you'll notice Washington's defense is almost never out of position.
Well, Bill, they have tremendous speed. Like in football, speed covers a lot of sins. And speaking of football, Pat, the draft is on.
Thursday night, 8 p.m.
And if you are a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, you got to be hoping that the deal they've made, basically they sent five picks, getting two picks back. So it's a net three picks for the second overall pick. And it appears, according to reports, that they're going to get Wentz.
Wentz.
That the Rams are going to take the goofball, who I think he's pretty quickly going to become known as. I actually think it could work into the Eagles' favor because I think the Rams are going to go with the other guy, and I think Wentz is the better of the two.
I think so, too. I think what the plan is in the back of Harry Rosen's mind is that he's going to have at least two more good years with Sam Bradford, who can play and who's a good quarterback as long as he stays healthy, while he brings Wentz along. So
yeah,
3 years
I hope that's
from
not
now.
The case, though, Bill. To give up that boatload of picks and have a guy sit for 2 years is a lot. I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is, remember, Bradford signed a two-year deal that's voidable at the end of the first year. They can get rid of him. So if they draft the kid, he'll sit for most of the first year, but he'll start, you know, playing, and we'll see how he's doing in practice. If they are out of it, let's say by week 12, let him start the last four games, see how he does, and then I think he kissed Bradford goodbye, or you still have him under contract, you might get a third or fourth round pick for a Bradford. So, I mean, the Eagles should be sitting in a good situation. The only way this blows up on them is if this guy just doesn't pan out. And unfortunately, it's the biggest gamble in all of sports.
Well, the quarterback always is. When you draft a quarterback, how do you know you're not getting another Johnny Manziel?
Yeah, and it's worse than that, Bill. Rumor has it that other than for going for road football games, this kid's never been out of the state of North Dakota.
Really?
So
yeah,
what?
That came out today.
I didn't know that.
What?
So what?
Well, okay. I throw that out there. The pundits are throwing that out there. When you come to a major market city, and not that I would acknowledge Philadelphia is, but a large city, there is certainly got to be a kind of nerve factor there? How is the public going to accept him in a big city setting? You know, you're playing in the big time now.
Well, you know,
and worse than that, you have such pent up demand. The problem you have with a kid like this, Bill, imagine putting this kid in, let's say not even this year, but next year, and it doesn't go well. Well,
it's the Philadelphia fans that's the problem. I don't think it's taking him out of North Dakota. I think it's putting him almost anywhere where you're dropping him. Honestly, I think if he was in San Francisco, Chicago,
but
nobody other than
admit.
Oakland
if you,
or
if you put him in Kansas City, even Green Bay, although Green Bay is the small town exception because they have such a history and great expectations, but a Kansas City, a St. Louis, these towns which are major league towns but don't have an East Coast mentality. Let's face it. When you look at the East Coast, you start with Boston, New York, kind of include Philadelphia, down to the Baltimore, Washington. These are towns with a championship, you know, pedigree. They've got – whether – pick any of the sports, okay? And you've got great fans, great expectations. You know, and you take this kid out of a North Dakota and you drop him there, I think it adds some pressure.
Well, I think it adds pressure, and I have to say, I think it adds pressure because how nasty the Philadelphia fans are. They won't give him or anyone else a chance. I mean, I think Philadelphia is even worse than Oakland, maybe because Oakland loses so much. But honestly, that is always the problem in Philadelphia. Where even Chicago, some of the other big markets, I don't think that anyone would have the same problems.
I don't totally agree with you, but I think you're right. I think it's a factor. Bill, how would you call that?
Well, it always is a factor because the Philadelphia fans can be very rough.
Tough crowd.
No doubt about it. And remember something. The Eagles have not won at all since 1960. So that's a long time without an NFL championship for a team that has teased and flirted with success many, many times, particularly the Andy Reid
era. But, Bill, they've had 50 Super Bowls, and they've only gotten into two.
That's true.
So the flirting, the real, when you want to talk about flirting, you want to talk about Minnesota, and Buffalo. They got their four times each. That's flirting. I think the Eagles aren't even in the flirt category. Two times in 50 years, and one time got blown out.
Oh, they got blown out horribly by Oakland.
Okay.
In the Roman Gabriel era.
Of course, if you listen to
And then they got hammered by the Tampa Buccaneers in the Super Bowl.
Well, no, by the Patriots. They got hammered by the Bucs in the NFC Championship
game. You're right. I stand corrected.
But the Patriots game... if you talk to most Philly people, the Patriots cheated and stole that. And you know, there may be some truth to that. I don't know. But the point I'm saying is that I agree with Pat. The reason I'm sort of agreeing with Pat is the fan base itself, but the fact that it hasn't won. I mean, and remember, you're talking 50 years. That wasn't even a Super Bowl, okay? I mean, they've never won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, you add that pressure to a young kid coming out of North Dakota. That's why I hope you're right. And, in fact, if they're doing it the right way, Bill, I think they follow what you just said. You let him sit the first year. You let him play some the second, but you don't name him the start. Let him do the 2 years. Thank Bradford for his service. You move on. And if Bradford gets hurt and can't make it, you got the other guy from Denver who's serviceable. But you don't put the kid. I agree with you in that respect. You have a much better chance. I mean, look at David Carr. Gets drafted, first draft pick for the Houston Texans, right? No offensive line. Suffers 77 sacks in his first year. And he was there, 3 years and set a record for the number of times he was sacked. When he got picked up by the Giants as a backup, he was literally shell-shocked. I mean, you could see, even in the exhibition games, which is when he played, he'd take a snap and take a few steps, and as soon as a defensive lineman came within 10 feet of him, he was taken off. He was so afraid of getting hit. So I think you do a big disservice to a guy throwing him in too soon and with no offensive line. Now, the Eagles did pick up a big-time offensive lineman. They shored up their line a little bit, and they'll probably draft a couple guys. But let's face it, they're not going to have this coming year the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. Well, they need another year to have a solid wall there.
Well, that's certainly true. And remember, the other weakness with the Eagles is guys like Zach Ertz
they don't block.
And sometimes they drop an awful lot of balls. The Eagles had a lot of drops.
Significant lot of drops. They led the league in drops. They led the league in drops.
By the way, who else?
If they
did the
didn't, I'm not surprised.
No, they did. I heard that stat.
Who else did the Eagles sign today? Somebody else.
The Eagles also signed a wide receiver today. Now, I got to tell you, they are trying really hard to become a respectable team. And the reason I believe they're doing it is they know the NFC East is up for grabs.
You know, absolutely.
The Giants or the Cowboys, they're rebuilding. Nobody's afraid of Washington. I mean, they did win it last year, but everybody's saying, Kirk Cousins, let me see you do that again. You know, I mean, everything fell right for the Redskins. So the Eagles look at, and quite frankly, and we'll know better in 2 weeks after the draft, but right now on paper, you know, probably the Cowboys, Giants, I think those two teams probably have a little bit more talent on paper, only because they've got franchise quarterbacks, and the Eagles don't. But if you look at the defense, I mean, the Eagles have the better defense, and, you know, they could steal the division. It's still up in the air. So I think they did add a receiver. They've added an offensive lineman. You add the young quarterback who isn't going to help you immediately. But I think psychologically, you put this 6'7 kid on your team. I mean, having said North Dakota and all that, you got to be looking over on your bench and see this big dude and say, you know what? We got some future here.
Well, the other thing, too, is this. They would not have drafted him, or they would not be planning to draft him if he didn't have a cannon of an arm and somebody who's coachable, who seems to have all the tools, but just needs the experience.
All the high grades, Bill.
So, you know,
but there's such an intangible. Like they were talking about Aaron Rodgers.
But John, you know, they've got to manage expectations.
You're
that's
absolutely right
key
as
here.
A team. But Bill, that's tough when you haven't won. It's hard to say that to fans.
But you know something, I think you have to because remember something. If the Eagles go from 4-12 to 9-7. Or even 10-6 in a weak NFC, and because their competition
10-6 might be good enough to win it.
Might very well be, and because remember, when you drop, you get an easier schedule, supposedly.
Yeah.
Although you still have to play your conference teams twice, you're going to get maybe an Oakland instead of getting perhaps the Denver Broncos, which you know certainly puts people in the seats.
No. There's no question about that, and I understand about managing expectations. But again, I think what they're doing is they're trying – they know they have a puncher's chance at least, if not a good – they may be favored to win. It'd be interesting to see where the odds come out. But after if they draft well, you may actually have them favored. But the point I was going to make, Pat, was in the context of this quarterback discussion, they went back to the Aaron Rodgers draft. And they were talking about exactly what you're talking about, Bill, was this guy's grades. And somebody said, wait a minute. You know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who was, you know, pretty well universally recognized as one of the top three quarterbacks in the game, by many people, the top quarterback, you know, he fell in the first round because certain people didn't think he had quite – some of those intangibles weren't quite right. So the point being that, you know, Tom Brady gets drafted in the sixth round. Joe Montana gets drafted in the third round. No, it doesn't always work that way. Peyton Manning's drafted first overall. Eli Manning's drafted first overall. You got four Super Bowls there, okay? So that was a case where there was no doubt about it. They had the pedigree, the whole thing. But with Aaron, he fell because people didn't think he had certain intangibles, but the Packers said, we're going to take a shot on him late in the first round.
And they didn't need him.
27th pick. Well,
they had Brett Favre.
They've had Favre.
And he sat for 4 years, and a lot of people question that.
Five.
But to that point, and to your point, Bill, about sitting Wentz, You know, Aaron sat for 3-plus seasons, and everybody has almost universally acknowledged that put him in a much better position to come in and play.
You know, there's
absolutely
another,
but there's more to it than that, Pat.
I think there is. And let me tell you what I also think. If you look back at Aaron Rodgers' history, he was always kind of passed over.
Yes,
and
in college.
And you know, he went to the junior college.
Yeah. He had something to prove.
He was
motivated.
Very, very nice. Look at him. He's great. But I think he has a competitive edge.
Well, same thing to Tom Brady. Every day, the rumor has it that over the bed in his bedroom, it says, "You're nothing but a 6-round draft pick."
Okay.
He carries that with him forever. So what does he do? He goes out and he wins 4 Super Bowls.
Right. Two of which
he won really almost single-handedly. And as my best friend Rick Grossman likes to point out, but for some giant luck, he would have had 6 Super Bowls. I disagree with that. I think Manning outplayed him in both of those Super Bowls. But reasonable minds, men could differ. The point being, again, 6-round, late first round. I mean, you have something to prove.
But also there are some people, and you certainly see it in tennis, because I know when I played tennis, I just didn't have that competitive edge. And there are people that, you know, they may not be as good, but they are so competitive.
Every single point is
every
is
point
for
they're going to go
every
after.
Every single point, yes.
Every
never let up.
And Rodgers is out there,
he's
and you watch him.
Yeah.
If he has time, he's going to find somebody. Or he's going to run the ball himself. I mean, he is just it's just so much fun to watch that competitiveness in him.
Oh, he's got the fire in the belly. There's no question about that. But let me get back to the point that John alluded to with comparing the Eagles to the Packers. And I hope they do follow this model. Bradford's a good quarterback. He may not be super mobile, and we know he's had 2 ACL problems. We also know that Bradford signed for 2 years. Actually, it's 1 and 1. The Eagles get that option year. But the Eagles are now beefing up their offensive line. They're starting to get some people for Bradford to throw to. So they could easily be 8-8 or 9-7 in a relatively weak conference and win and give the fans a little bit of an expectation. Meanwhile, if they do end up drafting him and signing him, gets to practice with guys who can catch the ball and guys who can protect him. So he's not always running for his life. Because remember, the last 5 or 6 years of Eagle quarterbacks, they were playing behind a terrible offensive line.
Even Michael Vick was getting buried back there.
Well, when he wasn't getting bit by dogs, he was getting buried.
Yeah.
So what I see is that they're doing it the right way. You know, they had their dumpster fire with Chip Kelly. He took a team that went 10-6 twice and turned them into a 4-12 team.
Good old Cow Chip.
Yep.
You heard it here first, folks, 3 years ago.
That's right. And now hopefully he'll do the
same
thing on
the
West Coast.
69ers.
Yeah. He'll do the same thing on the West Coast to the Niners. And, you know, Kaepernick notwithstanding. I think he's got some serious problems getting that Niner team under control. Quite frankly, the Giants look like a decent team. This is going to
be
one
of... a great free agency. They added 3 good defensive players.
That's right.
And they're going to draft a couple more. I think that they will be vastly improved.
By the way, did the Giants sack anybody last year?
That was the problem. They went from being the most ferocious defensive line for several years in 2 Super Bowls to the worst defensive line, last year. Of course, you know, you lost a couple guys. You lost Usiem Umenora. You lost Justin Tuck. And you had Jason Pierre-Paul, blew his hand off.
Hopefully that learns not to hold firecrackers.
We've got to take some spots from our sponsors. But,
what a shame.
You know, when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about the schedules. You know,
yes.
Because I know the Packers schedule this year is crazy.
We know you know the Packers schedule.
And,
sure.
And of course, all 3 of our teams are playing this year. So we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.
We'll be back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
All right, we're back, guys. We've had a lively conversation off the air, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the schedule this year. I know that... the Packers have a really weird schedule. We're not sure when we're going to the games yet, but, of course, they're playing the Giants in Green Bay, and they're playing the Eagles in Philadelphia. And, of course, they're playing a lot of these East Coast teams, which I think should be an advantage to them. I mean, they're playing the Jaguars. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons. They're playing the Titans. They're playing the Washington Redskins. You know, other than Seattle, most of these teams are all East Coast teams.
So they get to play at an early hour, and they're not really hitting the West Coast except for once, right?
No, actually, Seattle plays in Green Bay.
Oh, Seattle plays in Green Bay, so yeah. They don't go to the West Coast this year.
No, every year, remember, there's, and I don't remember what they call it, but every year, last year, the Packers were West Coast.
You know, the Eagles only go to the West Coast once to play the Seahawks, and that's going to be right.
All right, let's
right
take a look at this. Let's take a look at this, Pat. Sunday, August, that's preseason. Sunday, August 7th, they play the Colts. They play the Browns and the Raiders.
Yeah, but where are the Giants?
I've got the Packers schedule up right now.
Yeah, I've got the Packers.
At San Francisco.
But that's preseason.
That's also, but you are correct. And then the Chiefs, they're playing, I guess, 5 preseason games. Anyway, the season opens Sunday, September 11, at Jacksonville.
Right.
That's a win.
For the Packers.
I think so.
The following week, the Minnesota Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium. On a Sunday evening.
Are they going to be a loss? I don't know. Is that going to be in their new stadium? Are they getting into the
U.S. Bank Stadium? Yeah. Then, Sunday, September 25, at Lambeau Field, the Detroit Puppies, Lions. That's a win.
I think they're going to win against the Vikings.
They have a bye week, which is most unfortunate.
Well, it is unfortunate. It's
because too early. On Sunday, October 9, Sunday night at Lambeau Field, their nemesis, none other than the New York Football Giants, come to town. And the irony of this, if you look at the history, was the Packers tortured the Giants in the early 60s. In the early 60s by winning all those championship games, but the Giants have gotten some revenge in recent years.
Yeah, we know about
it. Pat, I think that's going to be a tremendous game.
I do, too. I'd like to go to that one.
And the interesting thing, if you are the Packers, I mean, listen to this. They play the Giants. Then they've got the Cowboys. Then they've got the Bears. At Atlanta, which I think will be better. Colts at the Titans, at Washington, at the Philadelphia Eagles. Then it lightens up Houston, but then they have Seattle at Chicago. They have a damn tough schedule.
Well of course. Remember, the schedule is skewed to
but
make
it's also
for
a
competition.
Schedule. You know, they're playing so many of their early games.
The middle part of their schedule is very difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Giants, Cowboys, Bears, 3 weeks in Green Bay. Thank goodness they're playing them all in Green Bay. But they're going. Actually, they have 4 games. Back-to-back in Green Bay. Well, that's not true. They have a bye week in between there. But the bye week is too early. So when are the Giants in Philadelphia? I mean,
well,
I think
the Giants open in Dallas again. This will be like the fifth year in a row. They open in Dallas.
Is that their regular season?
That's regular season Sunday, September 11, 4:30, followed by the Packers at 8:30. Then they play New Orleans and Washington at home. Those are winnable games. Then they're at Minnesota, very tough game. Then the Packer game at Lambeau. Baltimore, tough game even at home. At the Los Angeles Rams, got to start thinking of that again. Then they had a bye week the end of October, which is a perfect bye because the following week they get the Eagles. So it gives them 2 weeks to prepare to shoot down the flying Eagles.
When are
Eagles.
They playing the Eagles?
Sunday, November 6th at MetLife. Okay. But they also play the Eagles Thursday, December 22, the next to the last game of the season. And the last game's at Washington. So they've definitely designed these schedules to have division games the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Look at Green Bay. They're playing the Bears and Lions.
Well, no, but they play the Vikings on Christmas Eve.
And they play the Bears. Isn't their last game against the Bears?
No, it's their last game is at Detroit Lions.
Oh, okay, at the Lions. So, again, they're playing a conference game.
The week before, they're playing Chicago in Chicago.
Whereas if you look at the Eagles' schedule, they start off with the Browns, interestingly enough, who they just made the big trade for. The Browns at Chicago and Pittsburgh at home, and then an early bye. So, I mean, I would expect the Eagles to be 2-1, if not 3-0, with those three games. I think they'll get off to a good start. Then they're at Detroit, winnable. At Washington, always tough. Minnesota at home, at Dallas, at the Giants. You know, it starts to toughen up. Atlanta, at Seattle, the Packers, at Cincinnati, Washington again, at Baltimore, Giants again, and Dallas. So, you know, I think they all have a very – I would say the Giants' schedule is a little bit easier. I think they have one or two more easy games. But the looks to me like the Eagles have a really tough schedule there.
Well, remember something. In the last 4 games of the season, you've got the Redskins at home, Now you got to go play the Ravens, and although they've hit hard times,
the Ravens
always
are still going to be a tough team with Flacco and that defense.
Then you got the Giants and the Cowboys. So the schedule makers have created a situation where just about everybody they play the second half of the season is a head-to-head NFC team, and it's going to make a lot of difference because what they want to do is they want to be sure that they get all the tiebreakers sorted out in the event there's a,
I think it's just the tiebreakers are certainly a part of it, but it's obviously when the games count crunch time at the end, you want to be playing division games.
Oh, sure.
Because then there's more at stake.
So let me tell you what I see, folks, because, obviously, I think the Browns is a very winnable game. The Bears is a toss up. The Steelers, I think they're going to lose to them.
The Steelers have their number. I haven't beaten the Steelers in a while.
That's true. Lions, I think they can beat.
I think they can beat Detroit.
And I think they can beat the Redskins, too. The Redskins are a one-year flash in the pan.
You know what? I will go on record right now saying, Bill, I think it's likely that most of the NFC's teams will split. But the team that can go 2-0 against Washington will win that division.
I think it's
whichever of the other three teams can sweep Washington will win the division.
I think so. That's why I think they're going to end up losing to that. They'll lose to the Vikings. That's a gimme.
I'm not counting on the Vikings. I think the Vikings at home are tough.
The Vikings at home are always tough.
That's a tough game.
But they're playing in Philly. They play the Vikings in Philly.
Well, you got them at home. Okay. That's true. The Giants so and the Packers
they've got a shot, but I don't think the Eagles stop Adrian Peterson.
Well, the Packers always have a 1-1. They play once in Green Bay.
Well, of course, you're
a
division rival.
Right. But, Dallas, that's a toss-up to me. They're playing at Dallas. They'll probably lose that game.
Let's check that. Who do the Cowgirls
have?
But,
the other thing about the Packers is they're only going to have they have a Sunday game against the Bears, and then they have a Saturday game against the Vikings. That's always tough, I think.
Oh, because of the
you lose a day.
Right.
Now, luckily, they won't have a lot of travel.
Well, that makes up for it. You're not on the plane. I think it makes up for that extra day, assuming they're not too banged up at that point in the season.
No, but everybody's banged up.
Yeah, and that's a problem with the early bye that they have, Pat, right?
Exactly.
So, but you know something? I think Packers have improved their offensive line. Hopefully they're going to have a healthy Jordy Nelson by that time in the season. And I think the Packers are going to manage to install a better run game than any of us suspect. I think they've improved their O-line. I think some of these guys have gotten a lot more experience. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at how the Packers run the ball this year.
Well, I never pleasantly surprised unless they win all the games. But,
Raji's
out this year, and, we'll have to see how, some of these other guys are doing. And I haven't heard much about Jordy Nelson yet. So, we shall see. And, of course, I'm not hearing much about, the draft yet. We will certainly see in a few days.
I think Green Bay has always been very careful to keep their choices close to their vest.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
And what they tend to do traditionally is take the next best player available. I think that's why they took Rodgers. Remember, they don't do a lot of trades off season. I mean, when they took Brett Favre, that was different because who was the coach that had been? Was that when Mariucci? I'm trying to think of who the quarterback coach was at the time, who took a look at what Favre was doing, and they were able to get him, because he was not playing. He was not drafted by the Packers. He did not play his first year with the Packers.
Who's that?
Favre.
He was drafted by Atlanta.
He was. But I'm trying to remember who the quarterback coach was who was really watching and,
you mean the Packers coach who traded for him?
Who traded for him.
I thought the credit for that went to Mike McCarthy.
Andy
Reid was, and it might have been Andy who actually did it.
Quarterback talent. And if he was the one who decided Brett Favre is someone we ought to be luring.
Well, he drafted Donovan McNabb.
He did really well. Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, he's.
I think it might have been Andy. I'm forgetting. But
I'm pretty
sure
you are correct. I believe you are. I think I've heard that before. I think you are correct.
You know,
I was just looking at the New England schedule, and they've, you know, of course, they went to the AFC Championship game, lost it at Denver, but, you know, they've got, they start at Arizona. Very tough game. That's another Sunday night game. In fact, I guess they're going to do two Sunday night games. You've got the Giants, and Giants in Dallas. You got the Patriots at Arizona. Then they have Miami, Houston, Buffalo. You know, not too bad. Buffalo, I think, will be improved. At Cleveland, easy. Then you got the Bengals at home. At Pittsburgh, always a tough game. At Buffalo again, they get Buffalo two times in 4 weeks. Rex Ryan will be salivating at the chomping at the bit to beat Bill Belichick. But then they've got Seattle at San Francisco, at the Jets, the Rams, Baltimore at Denver, because you don't know what Denver's going to be. Then they've got the Jets at home and at Miami. So New England has sort of a. The thing is, in the AFC, you have a lot more patsy teams than you do in the NFC.
But remember,
so the Patriots schedule isn't that bad.
The Patriots schedule is what it is. But remember, the Jets are a better team this year. Hopefully they'll sign Fitzpatrick, rather. Additionally, the Jets open with the Bengals. That'll be tough for them, even though it's a home game. Then they got to go play the Bills at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, September 15th. They've got the Chiefs. I'm convinced they're going to lose that game, and they're also going to lose to the
Seahawks at
home. Well,
the Chiefs have beaten them the last couple of times.
Right. I think the Jets can beat the Steelers. They're going to have a tough time with the Arizona Cardinals. The Ravens, I think they can beat. The Browns, I'm sure they beat. Likewise, the Dolphins on November 6th. Then you're going to get the Rams, and I think the Jets can beat the Rams. And I also think the Jets might just play the Patriots tough enough at home if they win
by
a
couple points.
The
Jets usually get a split out of that.
Right. Then they've got the Colts, and, you know, I'm just not impressed with Andrew Luck. I think the Jets have shored up their defense. They're going to play a whole lot better against them. The game that I'm interested in is on December 11 when they play the Niners. I'd like to see them humiliate Chip Kelly. And just like I'd like to see them host the Dolphins the next week and embarrass them. I think the Dolphins are going to be in the cellar in the AFC.
Yeah, I think they're going to struggle there.
Yeah. And then they've got to go to New England on Christmas Eve day. That's December 24th, 1 o'clock.
Why are they making all of those games on?
Well, it's
I'll tell you why.
People are home. People are off.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us have to cook and work.
Well, here's the thing. It lets us guys sit on our butts and drink beer.
What about,
unsports guys like. Get up off
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's true.
And they
finish hosting the Bills on New Year's Day.
See, what we won't, if we get tickets for that game, I mean, my family will go nuts if I go out to Wisconsin for a game on the 24th.
Yeah.
And it's at noon, and then there's no way to get back from Wisconsin. I mean, you cannot get back on the same day that a game. The other thing that's really bothering me is there are so many start times that may change.
Oh, because of week 5 through 17 is subject to change, the flex schedule and all that. But I was just looking at the Washington schedule, and it's not that bad. I mean, they open with Pittsburgh at home and then Dallas at home. So the first two games are at home against tough teams. Then they're at the Giants. So the first three games are going to be tough for them. But then they get Cleveland, but at Baltimore, and there's a huge rivalry, Baltimore-Washington.
Right.
Then they've got the Eagles. Then they're at the Lions, at the Bengals, the Vikings, the Packers, at the Cowboys, at Arizona, at Philly, Carolina, at Chicago, and ending up with the Giants. People who think that Washington's going to win that, I don't see it.
Well, remember, Washington wins a division, so now they got a tougher schedule the next year.
Well, they have a very tough schedule. I think they've probably got the toughest schedule in the NFC East because they won the division. But if you look at the one loss record, there's all the playoff teams are in there. Carolina.
Right. Right.
And Packers?
I think by December 1, Washington and Dallas are arm wrestling to see who finishes last.
Yeah. Hopefully the Giants and the Eagles will be competing for first.
I would hope because, you know, I like the New York-Philadelphia rivalry. There's just something about its intensity.
I wonder why.
Makes me feel good. Even when the Jets come to play the Eagles.
Bill, that's the thing. The Giants don't consider it a rivalry.
Well, that's their problem. We Philadelphia fans know that there's nothing like an icy cold cheesesteak in Lincoln Financial Field while the Eagles are beating the Giants 33-7.
That's right. That was a big game.
Well, it's funny with these rivalries because the traditional rivalry, of course, Packers-Bears, but that's a nice rivalry. Now, the Packers
well, you been,
the
wait teams a minute. Have We've been to Packers-Bears
yeah.
game.
Yeah, but they have respect for each other.
No, but they have
that's
respect for each other. Minnesota.
No respect there.
And they hate it. And remember, there's a long border between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And, in fact, people who live, and I think I've said this before, people that live in northern Wisconsin, their television stations are all Minnesota.
Wow.
So they have a hard time getting Packer games. In fact, most of them can't unless they have
By the way, let me ask you a question, Pat. You know, this guy Prince passed away, and they're making him out like he's the second coming. What was so big about this guy?
He's from Minnesota?
No.
Minneapolis.
Yeah, I know. But
born and brought up and died
but
there.
Prince was really big.
I know a couple of songs I can think of they did, but they're apparently saying he was a great humanitarian.
Well, that's because he's dead.
No.
Nice yeah, funny him. How a lot of dead people become humanitarian
Saints, yeah.
and philanthropists.
No, I think he really, and look, was I a Prince fan? No, but he really made a true impact on music. Really did. And everybody's waiting to see if there are lots of songs in his vault that have never been released. But, you know, and by the way, it also is the story of the day. Let's remember, we always
have
some story.
We have a 24-hour news cycle, so of course they've got to all these journalism.
Slow
agents,
news
have
day,
but I'm not surprised about that. I'm really not. Now, did you pick up the fact that there's someone who's trying to go into the draft who's played basketball, has not played football since 2007? I can't remember the guy's name. But
he played football in junior high or something?
Yeah, well, high school. So, for the last
That'd be
4 years.
More than high school. That's
no,
8 years
he
ago.
He played basketball for Baylor for the last 4 seasons. So I don't know when he played football last, but he was on the basketball team at Baylor. And
sounds like a player that the Eagles need.
No, but it would that kind of thing is always interesting if he could, you know, really make it. Somebody who has not played
well, people
in
who are great athletes, they said the same thing about O.C. Umanora, who didn't start playing football to like his sophomore year, either sophomore or junior year in college. He only had 2 or 3 years of college football when the Giants drafted him first overall, and he turned out to be a terror on the defensive line.
Well, you know, even Strahan didn't play. Right. What did he play? 1 year in high school? He came to the United States to play football in high school. I think it was maybe.
Yeah, because he was an army brat.
Exactly. Grew up in Germany. So,
yeah.
You know,
although if you ask Kelly Ripa, she'll just say he's a brat.
well, so much for people who read People magazine.
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about, but guys, what else do we? So next week we'll be talking about the draft.
That's right.
And let's take a couple spots from our sponsors.
Good idea, Pat. Hit that money
button. Come back
and
you know, let's say goodbye to their. Hopefully, we have a few fans out there.
We have plenty of fans.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.com. www.hunterdenmedicalcenter.org.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, we're back. We'll have a couple more
solar
words.
Grid works, Bill.
And before we're talking about solar grids, great sports guys. But I do want to say something. The Red Shoe Luncheon and Fashion Show is going to be held on Friday, June 3rd, 2016, at the Hunterdon Hills Playhouse. It's a great way to that our BW Nice raises money for, including the domestic violence safe in Hunterdon. And it's a fun day, great luncheon. It's between 11 and 2, open at 10 a.m. for registration and vendors. And, you know, hope people who, I grant you, it's usually women, although we do have a few men, but mostly it's something that, good thing to call your friend, come out, you know, support great charity. And see a great set of models and clothes. And these are not professional models. So we have a lot of fun, and it's a great charity.